The cross is an awesome thing, isn't it? I thank the Lord for what He's done for us. You have your Bibles open. We're going to look at another passage of Scripture as well, not only here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, but if you will, go ahead now and turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, what I'll do is I'm going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians first, and then I'll turn over to Galatians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians, if you will, first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. I thank the Lord for that. Thank God for the power. Look over in the book of Galatians chapter number 6, if you will, please. And in chapter number 6 of the book of Galatians, I want you to look at verse number 14. And the Apostle Paul writes, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul said, I preach the cross and I glorify the cross. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for touching Brother Brad and the choir and the children this morning. Our Father, for the touch of God on the singing of the congregation. And our Father, for being in this place this morning. Thank you for a good time of Bible study and Lord, those who are here in the Sunday school hour. And I pray, God, that Lord, that you'd make real to every person in our radio audience and in the internet audience, our Father, this time as we share the Word of God. Our Father, you love the whole world and you gave your Son that they might be saved. And all that went on that cross was for them. And Father, I pray that not one man or woman in the sound of my voice here in this great crowd in the building this morning or in the radio audience or internet audience would miss our Father, the message of the cross, and that they would come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And God will thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no accident this morning that the cross is the center of our auditorium. And it's the central thing that you see as you look here this morning. It's no accident also that the cross is empty this morning. I'm glad we've got a living Savior, amen. And the tomb is empty, but praise God, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there making intercession for you, and He's anticipating His return to take the bride of Christ out of here. And what a blessed thing that is. Paul said, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to those who of us who are saved, it is salvation. I thank the Lord for that. You in your bulletin this morning have a little thing there for a sermon note. And I don't ever emphasize it. I trust you use that instead of writing notes. I hope you hurl it and get through or something like that. Or, you know, but I hope you'll just this morning, will you make a couple of little notes this morning? And I'd like for you to this morning, first thing, to take your little notepad or note sleeve that is in the bulletin. And I'd like for you to write down, of course, our text verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, where the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I glory in the cross and thank God for the cross. Now, when you take down just below those Bible references, and when you write the word cross, C-R-O-S-E, and for just a few moments, I want to take the word cross, and as we think about the cross, use that for an acrostic. When I think about the cross, I think in the first place about the compassion of our Lord. What nailed Him to that cross was not nails. It was His heart. It was the heart of God that gave His only begotten Son. His holiness is unapproachable. You cannot enter into the holiness of God. If you were to approach the holiness of God today in your earthly state, you'd be consumed. Our God is a consuming fire. You could not live in His presence because of His holiness. It is unapproachable. His intellect, His mental ability, and the knowledge of God for me and you is just incomprehensible. You can't comprehend how awesome He is and how wise He is. And He knows everything. Omniscient means He knows everything effortlessly. He knows everything. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. And we cannot comprehend the knowledge of God. But it's His heart that we do know. And Paul said that we couldn't know the love of God. And John wrote and said we could know the love of God. And you can know the love of God. The Bible said herein was His love manifest, that He died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it's out of compassion. He looked across the multitudes. The Bible said He was moved with compassion. That means He convulsed on the inside. His heart was rent. And it was expressed on top of that mountain overlooking Jerusalem when He wept over the city of Jerusalem. His compassion held Him to that cross. But then the second thing you and I would think about as we think about the cross is certainly the cruelty of the cross. He died a violent death. There's nothing pretty about the cross. Nothing pretty about the one who hung on that cross. And when you come, I'll just tell you now, you be prepared when you come to see the passion play. And as it is as horrific as it will appear, it'll be nothing compared to what our Lord really looked like. The Bible said His visage was so marred that He was not recognizable as a human being. They had buffeted His face and done all those things to Him till His features had swelled. He's hardly recognizable as a man. And it was out of cruelty that they did that. They did it out of hatred for Him. And they mutilated His body. And He did every bit of that for me and you. But then not only the compassion of that cross and the cruelty of that cross, but what is etched in my mind are the cries from that cross. There are seven sayings from the cross, but three of which I describe as cries at this time. The first one was this, and it's hard for me to even comprehend. Having done all of that to Him over a series of many hours, and He hangs there on that cross, His first utterance from the cross was this, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What a cry. What a cry of mercy. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The cry from that cross is etched in my heart and in my memory. Every time I see the cross, I think of that compassion and I think of that cruelty, but I think of that cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And not only the cry of "forgive them," then the cry of separation. He cried and said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The sinless Son of God, the darling of heaven, the one who before the world was ever fashioned was daily the delight of the Father. On that cross, God the Father turned His back on God the Son, and He cried. He sensed that. Just as surely as you're standing in a place of sunshine and a cloud would overshadow the sun and you stand in shadow and darkness. My dear friend, as soon as God turned His face away from His darling Son, a cloud rolled across the soul of the Son of God and He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The answer is given in the book of Psalms. He said, "Thou art holy, cannot look upon sin." The Lord Jesus Christ bore all our sin on that cross. But then there's a third cry that I remind you of the seven sayings. This cry rings in my heart as well. He cried, "It is finished." Thank God. He didn't mean that I've given up. He didn't mean, my dear friend, that finally I will be able to die and be rid from this pain. But He meant what I've come to do is accomplished. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." He said, "I came to give my life a ransom." And on that cross, when He cried, "It is finished," my dear friend, the transaction was made. He paid our sin debt, satisfied every demand of God. And He cried, "It is finished." But not only the C in that word cross is a blessing to me, but I think about the letter R in the word cross. And the first thing I think about is the ridicule of that cross. I think about how the crowd that day mocked Him and jeered Him and ridiculed Him. They were there and they ridiculed Him, mocked Him. "If thou be the Son of God," they said. And they offered Him vinegar and the crowd around the cross in the Old Testament in Psalms 22, when it describes the death of our Lord, He said they were like the bulls of Bashan. They were like those bulls that gathered around the cross, and it was such a hideous thing. They were ridiculing our Lord. But then I think about the request that came from another cross beside that cross, and that was this request: remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in spite of all that he was going through and all the sin debt he was paying and all the agony of his body and spirit, he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I'm reminded when I see that cross that he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that man on the cross beside Christ got saved like anybody who's ever been saved in all of time got saved. He had nails in his hands just like Jesus did. He couldn't get off that cross. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't go to Sunday school. He couldn't do one good deed. He couldn't give any money. And so none of those things are essential for salvation. The only thing he could do was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing he could do was to call and ask for salvation. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and a gift has to be received. He said he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And my dear friend, there is that request that came from the other cross. Remember me. And the Lord that day heard that cry and he saved him. When you get to go to heaven, you'll get to see that fella. And boy, what a time you'll have to meet him and know that he called on the Lord. How many of you in this building this morning can testify this morning with uplifted hand, I did call and he did save me. And thank God for that. I'm glad for that call, that receiving that's possible because of the cross. Not only do I see that cross and think of the ridicule, and I think about the request of the other cross, but I think about the ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom, a ransom. When I think about what he did on that cross, he was giving his life as a ransom. It's no accident the Holy Ghost of God chose to use that word, because a ransom is paid for the deliverance of somebody who's held captive. You'd pay a ransom if somebody were to abduct your child and they'd write you a ransom note and say there's no way you can go, your child will live or go free unless you pay a certain amount. My dear friend, we're held captive by sin and held captive by Satan, and we had to be redeemed, we had to be ransomed. And he paid that price. The wages of sin is death. He died for us. We studied about the Passover, and they were to take that lamb on the 14th day and they were to cut his throat, take that blood and put on the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And he said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. The Lord Jesus Christ was that Passover lamb for us. He died in our place. He died in our stead. He paid for our sin. He ransomed us. He paid the sin debt that we might go free. I think about the horror. I think about the ridicule. And I think about the request of that dying thief. But I think about the ransom that I've been paid for. And my deliverance is assured because of what he did on that cross. In the word cross, the letter O is the third letter. And when I think about the letter O, there's an astounding verse in your Bible in the book of Matthew 27, verse 3. Having mutilated his body like they did and nailed him to their cross, they lifted him toward heaven, as you'll see in the drama. And the Bible said, in setting down, they watched him there. I think about the observers of the cross. It's one thing to be so vicious and so vile. It's one thing to in a fit of anger, to destroy somebody or to kill somebody. But it's another thing to sit by and watch the life's blood flow out of their body. In devilish glee, they sat down and watched him. To them, it was an amusement. To them, it was something to be just savored, the agony of that cross. They looked, but they did not trust him. They observed him. And so many people in this building and so many people in America are observers of Calvary. They've never received the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, our Lord gave the story of when the serpents bit the children of Israel, and Moses besought God on their behalf, and he said, you take a cross and you put a pole and you put a brazen serpent on it and lift it high, and whoever looks on that serpent can be saved and they'll be healed. If that crowd around the cross had not been simply observers, if they looked in faith, they'd be in heaven today. My dear friend, just to know Christ, just to be an observer of all that goes on around the church house is not enough. You must respond in faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then hanging on that cross, the letter O also reminds me of the open wounds upon his body. He was mutilated, but they had a crown of thorns on his brow. They had nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and then they pierced his side. There were four extremities or four areas where those open wounds were, one on his brow, in his hands, in his feet, and in his side. The number four in the Bible is the number of the world, north, south, east, and west. And the Lord Jesus Christ died and was wounded for our transgressions. For the sins of the whole world, he died, those open wounds of Calvary. He was wounded in his head for my sins of my fault. He was wounded in his hands for my sins of my deeds. He was wounded in his feet for the sins of where I've gone and the things I've done that were wicked. But he was wounded in his heart for the sins that no man sees, the sin that's in every person in this building and in every person in the sound of my voice, because the Bible said God looks on the heart. And what you will not acknowledge and what you may not even be aware of, the sin in your heart, he died for that and received those wounds in his body on the tree. Not only do I think of the observers and the open wounds, but I think of the offense of the cross. Paul in Galatians chapter 5 speaks of the offense of the cross. What does he mean by that? It means because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. It's a horrible thing to think about people across America who committed such hideous crimes that whenever you think of their name or you hear their name, there is a sense in your heart of maybe disgust or even hatred for what they did. They may have been upstanding citizens at one moment, but then when the truth came out and they turned out to be a child molester or some sort of other type of a wicked sin, their whole demeanor is changed to you. They can smile in a courtroom, but you look past the smile and you remember the sin. And it's hard for me and you to forget that. The offense of the cross is this, that whoever hangs on that cross is under the curse. And it's an offense. And those who align themselves with that individual fall into that same offensive category. And because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no friend to the world and the world's no friend to you. There's an offense to it because of the world and because of the curse of him hanging on that tree. But thank God, I'm glad to count myself as part of that crowd. I'd rather trust the Lord Jesus Christ and have the world to reject me than to die and go to hell for all eternity. You can be saved today if you trust the Lord. When you look at the cross, you think of the letter C and his compassion and the cruelty and the cries. When you think of the letter R, you think of the ridicule of that cross and all that he went through. But think of the ransom that he paid for you on that cross. And think of the reception or the request of that one person who called, and anybody else can do the same thing and be saved. When you think of the letter O, I want you to think about the open wounds in his body, all the four different areas of his body that speak of his loving the whole world and bearing your sin. In every area of your life, he died for that sin. My dear friend, don't just be an observer. I hope you'll receive him as your Savior and bear the offense of the cross. But the first S in the Bible in regard to the word cross reminds me of this. And I've mentioned the cruelty of the cross, but I want to say a special word about the suffering of the cross. You see, there's things that you could see. Jesus Christ was a man. He was God incarnate in human flesh. And somehow or another in our mind, we think that because he was God, he did not feel the pain. But he did. He suffered agony on that cross. He suffered agony at the beating with a cat of nine tails. He experienced all the physical suffering that you could ever imagine. Many men who go through that experience of the scourging and then the cross often die before they ever even hung on the cross because of the fluids that leave their body, and because of the great trauma, they would have a heart attack and die suddenly. And they were dead when they hung them on the cross. But our Lord bore all that physical suffering for us. On that cross, not only the beating, not only the nails, not only all the other suffering, but as his fluids begin to leave his body, doctors tell us that his temperature elevated, his body losing the cooling agents of the water, trying to cool itself, but it couldn't do it. And his fever went up, and the ache and the pain of that. Dehydration, I'm told, is one of the most painful deaths in the world, because every cell of your body requires water. And when the fluids drain from your body, every cell of your body begins to cry out in agony. From the soles of his feet to the top of his head, every soul in his body was crying in agony. He was experiencing all of that. But the suffering of the cross was not just physical. It was emotional. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. He had compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was God incarnate in human flesh, but he loved and he felt things. And on that cross, there was such a mental and emotional battle going on in his soul. Oh, listen, the agony of that cross. Some of you have experienced the conviction of sin. You have committed sin and you've known that sin, and then the Holy Ghost of God would remind you of it, and it was like just a heavy weight hanging on you. You think about this. Think about his suffering on that cross with all the emotional strain of all the sin of all the world. You get to the place where you've done things you know you shouldn't have done, and you can't rest at night, you can't sleep, and it's just a hound and a torment. And he was experiencing all of that a billion times over. All the emotional suffering, all the agony, all the awesomeness of sin on that cross. Not only the physical suffering, the emotional suffering, but then the spiritual suffering. He paid sin's debt. God veiled that cross for an hour, about 3 hours of darkness. You know why? Because I believe with all of my heart that all the demons of hell buffeted him at that time. All of hell came against him in the darkness of night. My dear friend, he suffered every agony that you could ever imagine. He cried and said, "I thirst." His body became so dehydrated that his tongue, the Bible said in Psalms 22, clave to the roof of his mouth. He became dehydrated, but he suffered spiritually on that cross. The torments of demons, but then the separation from the Father. He experienced your hell is what he did. He suffered for you on that cross. He paid that sin debt on that cross. But the second S, I think about this. I think about salvation. That to me is salvation. What he did on that cross reminds me of salvation. It's not just an ornament to decorate your person. It's not just a cross to be worn around your neck. It is salvation that makes the difference. That cross is a symbol, but I think about the cross as salvation. I think about that cross, and the last S in the word cross to me speaks of substitution. He died for me. I see that cross, and I think that song that was sung many years ago says it so well. I should have been crucified. He took my place. Even to the very hour, that truth is illustrated not just in the fact that he died on that cross for us, but when they stood him and a wicked man named Barabbas, he said, "Who will you have?" They said, "Give us Barabbas." And what would you do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. And so on that day, Jesus died in the place of a common thief, but he died that day in the place of me and you as well. The last S speaks of salvation and him being our substitute. He bore all your sins on that cross and all my sin, and he died on that cross for us. But that last S also says this to me. I think of the satisfaction. The Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what Christ did on that cross? He made it possible for everybody in the whole world to have everlasting life, because he satisfied perfectly all the demands of a holy God. All the demands of the atonement for sin, the pay for sin, Jesus Christ satisfied on that cross. It's hard for me to comprehend that. It's got to be hard for you to understand as well. that he would perfectly satisfy all the demands of God on that cross. The word cross has five letters in it. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. And that cross, my friend, is salvation. It is the perfect satisfaction of God because of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. And what that grace brought to us was that gift. Perfect satisfaction of all our sin paid for through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word cross that you've written on your paper. And it's somewhere on there you might want to write these words. Christ, redeeming our sinful soul. That's what the cross is all about. It's Christ redeeming our sinful soul. He gave his life that you could be saved. If you're saved this morning, you may be a distance from him. You may be out of fellowship with him. There's something awesome about this cross. I've sat in the services this morning, and I sense an awesomeness in this place. Sometimes we're here and there's a seems like just a kind of a dullness or deadness. That wasn't the atmosphere this morning. While it was not like it has been in days gone by, I think I knew what it was. Not one redeemed person walked in this building this morning and looked at that cross and did not think, that was for me. He did that for me. As I sat there on the front while the choir sang, at the foot of the cross, I thought, Christ redeemed our sinful souls on that cross. There's something awesome about sitting in front of it, not just an ornament of gold, but an old wooden cross that he suffered and bled and died for us. Can I say, the reason for that cross is that he's not willing that any should perish. He wants every person in this building, every person in the radio audience, every person in an audience to be saved. The sin debt has been paid. Everything's now ready. But you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, can I ask you a question? Was I right? Did you enter this building and in spite of all the joy you feel of being around God's people and the joy of being here, that when you gaze on that cross, there was something awakened in your soul and you knew that he did all of that for you? And as I've talked about the cross this morning, your mind's eyes going back to Calvary, and this morning you want to raise your hand as a testimony and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Would you do that right now? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you for what you did for me. And God, I'm so ashamed of the little I do for you. But I know, God, it's not contingent on what I do, but what you've already done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God, I want to thank you for Calvary. Thank you for what you did for me. And while we are praying, dear friends who've been to Calvary and you know that cross and you've raised your hand indicating that, would you right now, right where you are, say to him, dear Lord Jesus, because of all you've done for me, not just at Calvary, but ever since I've been saved and even before I say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate myself this morning to love you and to tell the message of the cross to as many people as I can. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, there are many guests and visitors here and folk in our radio audience, the internet audience that I cannot see. But I want to say to you this morning, Jesus did what he did on that cross for you. It's a free gift. You say, Brother Billy, I don't understand it. How could his death on the cross affect me here in 2012? He died that you might have everlasting life, and it's by faith. He's paid your sin debt. The wages of sin is death. He paid that wage. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. You don't pay for that. It's already been paid for. Now you receive him. Receive his grace. receive His love, receive His salvation. If you're here in the building, you may be a visitor, guest, you may never come back to this building again. You're just passing through or whatever, or in the radio audience, the internet audience, you just happen to find this message this morning. I want to tell you, God didn't just happen to be here. He's here for you. And while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, across this auditorium, is there a man or woman or boy or girl who'd say, "Preacher, I've never been to Calvary. I've never trusted Christ. But this morning, the preaching of the cross, the Holy Ghost of God's affected my heart. And I want to be saved before it's too late. And preacher, pray for me." No one's looking, but would you raise your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me." I'm looking across the building. God bless you. Somebody else? Write it right back down. Let me acknowledge it. God bless you. Anybody? Anybody else? Will you stand, please, with your heads bowed? I want to pray. Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. You have a unique privilege this morning as God's people, and you'll have other opportunities, no doubt. You've done it many a time in your heart and in your home. But I wonder this morning if there's some who'd want to just come kneel here around the front, kind of near the foot of the cross, and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. I glory in the cross, and I thank you for it." And for our dear friends who may not be saved this morning, while these are coming, let me say this to you. Jesus loved you and died for you. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right now, if you'd but call on Him, if you'd ask Him to, He'd save you. Will you call on Him? I invite you to come to this altar, you as well, to a ready reception. You don't have to talk Him into it. He wants to save you. If you'll just pray and ask Him, call on Him, you might pray a prayer like this. "Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but you paid my sin debt on Calvary. I believe with all my heart that you died, were buried, and rose again, and you're alive forevermore. Come in my heart, forgive me of my sins, save me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, God, you'd make this real to every heart here. And God, don't let anybody leave this building lost. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will do what I cannot do, convict of sin, righteous judgment, draw by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. Oh, God, have your way. In Jesus' name." While we're in attitude of prayer, Brad sings. Join these many around the front. Come to stand or kneel if you can. If you're not saved this morning, will you trust Christ? Folk are praying, Brad singing. You come right now. Thank you for Calvary.